إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our ninth session reading from Bawa'ith al-Khalas min al-Dhunub. Yani, those means or ways through which a person would be helped and enabled to escape from sins. The origin of this book is from al-Imam Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Dimashqi al-Hanbali rahimahullah, better known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. And the commentary is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Musin al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we look at the topic for tonight, which is the ninth ba'ith, the ninth motivational factor mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah as a way or a means of escaping from sins, we're going to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 8. The first question being, summarize the 8th ba'ith, motivational factor presented by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, and its two types. The 8th ba'ith and its two types. Zaki. To be conscious of the ma'iyah of Allah. Naam. Allah being with someone. Okay, general and specific. The two types is there's ma'iyya, aama, general, and ma'iyya, khasa, specific. Now, the second question, summarize the first of its two types. The first of the two types of ma'iyya, as explained by the author, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. Now. Ma'iyya, aama,
which is the general nearness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to His creation, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over all of His creation, providing for all of His creation, etc.
Now, general ma'iyah of Allah, that He is watching over, looking at the whole of the creation, and that a person should recognize and realize and acknowledge that Allah, yani, sees them, that He's looking at them, and that nothing of their condition, nothing of their situation or circumstance is hidden from Him. Question number 3, mention two of the ayat offered by the author, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, as examples of the second type of ma'iyya. Two of the examples, one of them. Inna Allaha ma'as sabireen. Meaning? Anybody? Allah is with the patient. Allah is with those who have patience. Second one. Second ayah mentioned Abdul Wali.
Inna Allaha ma'al
alladheena.
Muhsinun.
What's the meaning of this ayah? Inna Allaha ma alladhina taqaw. First part of the ayah. Naam. Naam. Okay, indeed Allah is with those who fear Him, those who observe taqwa. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Huh? Okay, and those who do good deeds, the people of ihsan. We're not going to go into the meaning of ihsan here at this point, but generally it's translated those who do good deeds, but in reality, the meaning of ihsan here is those who excelled, who seek perfection in their worship of Allah and in their dealing with the people. Ihsan. Naam. One other ayat. The Shaykh mentioned one more ayat. Somebody else who didn't answer. Naam. إن الله لمع المحسنين. جزاك الله خير. Question number 4: Who are the people that Sheikh Abdul Razak says this second type is specific to? Who does he say are the people that this second type, al-ma'iyah, al-khasa, is specific to? Who? Abdul Halim?
No.
Abdul Halim. Allahu Akbar. Got it. Alhamdulillah. Fadl.
Al-muttaqeen.
Al-sabirin. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. The muhsinin, muttaqeen, sabirin. He mentioned specifically them. And of course it's not limited to them, but it's specific to the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have those qualities that are pleasing to Allah. Especially the people of taqwa, the people of iman, ihsan, patience, and so on. Naam. Question number 5. What are some of the benefits associated or necessitated by the second type, this second type, al-ma'iyah al-khasa, from the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak? Some of the benefits that are necessitated by al-ma'iyah al-khasa. Naam, Abdul Wali.
Victory from Allah.
Protection from Allah.
Assistance from Allah.
Aid and success from Allah. Anybody want to add to that anything? طيب خلاص طيب الحفظ والنصرة والرعاية والتعييد. The Sheikh specifically mentioned, and some of what he mentioned is from the English edition of the book. The work is a little bit different from the English to the Arabic, as we mentioned in the past. Perhaps the translation is from a different, and not the official edition that the Sheikh has posted on his website. But in any case, the meanings are the same. Now, question number 6. Summarize the hadith which the Sheikh mentions in his commentary as an example of this second type, al-ma'iyah al-khasa. The hadith. Summarize the hadith. What's the summary of this hadith that the Sheikh mentions? Summary. Now, fadl. Okay, 3 people who took refuge in a cave. What else? Anything else? Naam.
They
sought tawassul with Allah, but before that they sought refuge in the cave, and what happened to them? A rock fell down from the mountain and it closed up the cave so they couldn't get out. And then they said that we will not be saved from this stone, we will not be able to get out except by calling on Allah by some of our righteous deeds. And each of them mentioned something that they did. And the Sheikh mentions just one part of the hadith, but one of them mentioned what he did, which was what? In summary?
that he had a cousin.
That he had love for.
Admired.
And he wanted to be with her.
And he wanted to do something.
And she refused.
And when she fell on some hard times, he offered her.
She fell on hard times, he offered her some money.
And
she took it.
She took it and he went.
And when he was, in the position to do it, she told him that I don't see this as being lawful unless it is done, in the way that Allah has made it lawful, bihaqi. So he, withdrew and he left the money with her and he left her and he said that if I have done this, O Allah, purely for your sake alone, seeking your protection, then remove the stone, and Allah caused it to move until the end of the hadith. That's the summary of the story. The point of the story is what the Shaykh is saying, that it's possible that a person, because of their good deeds, they might earn the protection and the help and support and aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last question is, summarize the first 8 mawa'idh, motivational factors mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The first 8. Number 1, naam. Okay, ijlalullah. The first one that the Shaykh mentions is ijlalullah. The first of the bawa'ith. Ijlalullah wa azamuhu. Recognizing Allah's greatness and His glory and His magnificence. The second one. Mahabba. The love of Allah. The third one. The large amount of Allah's blessings. His ni'am, and His ihsan. The fourth one. Ghadab Allah. Allah's anger and His punishment. The fifth one. Fawat al-khayr, that a person might lose out on good in this world and the next life due to them committing sins. Sixth one.
So person wants to die as a kafir and evil,
Naam. The goodness of, yani, the reward of the sweetness of the person who suppresses his nafs and who conquers a shaitan. What number are we on? Six? Seven?
Seven.
Seventh one. Okay, consciousness of the compensation. Al-iwad min Allah. The compensation, Allah gives somebody something to compensate for what they gave up of that which is displeasing to Him. For giving up sin, Allah compensates them. They gave us something that they love, that they desire, Allah compensates them with that which is better than it. Better than it. Now, eight. One more. Ma'iyatullah al-khasa. The special, specific ma'iyah of Allah for those who have iman and taqwa and so on. Naam. Ma'iyah is from ma'a, to be with. Yani ma'iyah, ma'iyatullah means that Allah will be with a person. Yani meaning, He will watch over them, He will protect them, He will help them, He will support them. Naam, like this. Bawa'ith. Yani ba'ith means, yani the asbab, the umur, tu'in al-shaqs ala shay. And that which helps a person. Yeah, those factors or those things that help a person to avoid sin. وَإِيَّاكُمْ طيب. So, for those who are following from the English translation, again, the strange arrangement of this translation is that the text of the statements of Ibn al-Qayyim are in the back of the book. And the commentary of the Shaykh is in the front of the book. So the back, we start with the back. In the back of the book on page 61, it mentions number 9. Number 9, the ninth ba'ith. The ninth motivational factor, means, through which a person may avoid sins. Consciousness of an unexpected death, an early end. And that a person fears, is aware, that they may die suddenly, unexpectedly. So a person has to be careful what condition they're in. Especially when a person is considering committing a sin, what if Allah took them in that condition? This is for the person to fear the death, fear that death will suddenly come upon them, and thus Allah will take his soul unexpectedly. So he is deprived of what he covets of the delights of this life, and he is deprived of what he covets or desires of the delights of the hereafter. What a great misfortune. How bitter and hard this is. However, no one is aware of this, yani this condition, how a great misfortune this is, except yani the one who experienced it. It is found in some of the previous books, yani al-kutub al-qadima, the ancient books, yani the saying, O you who is not secure for the blink of an eye, and who is incompetent of attaining the happiness of a day, yani the person who doesn't have power or ability to protect yourself or to do anything, be very cautious, be very cautious. As far as the commentary from the English translation, it's on page 24, or begins on page 24, and continues on page 25. It's entitled number 9, The Imminent Approach of Death. Yani death that might come unexpectedly, and suddenly, and quickly. The ninth way to escape sins, from the ways mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, is to be attentive, to be aware, to acknowledge, to recognize, yani the reality of the possibility of the imminent approach of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَاب. For each and every matter there is a decree. Surah Ar-Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 38th Ayah. And the meaning of this ayah is, yani perhaps, yani this is a translation of it, but probably a more accurate translation. Yani لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ, yani for every, yani مُدَّ, مَدْرُوبَ, yani specific period of time, there is a kitab, meaning there is something in writing that indicates the limits of that period of time. Specifically, how long, yani, everything will be in existence. Man is oblivious of when death will suddenly come to him and when his appointed time will arrive. Perhaps he thinks to himself, especially when he is strong and young, that he will live until well after his 60s, even though he may die tomorrow or today. And here they mention from the Quran, Surah Luqman, 31st Surah, 34th Ayah. They only translated part of the ayah, the part that begins with, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَقْصِبُ غَدَى وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. That no person knows what he will earn tomorrow. And no person knows in what land he will die. Verily Allah is all knower, all aware. So being conscious of the imminent approach of death and the fact that it can come upon the servant unexpectedly at any time is a significant cause for contemplation. Yani something that a person needs to think about if the servant reflected upon it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and by the way, this ayah, that the second ayah that the Shaykh mentions is not mentioned in the Arabic text of our copy that we're using, but the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's mentioned here is mentioned, that is, أكثروا ذكر حاذم اللذات. Constantly remember the destroyer of pleasures, meaning death. Constantly remember, yani death, that it's near. This deliberation, yani thinking about this matter, reflecting upon it, will benefit the servant by helping him to avoid sins, stay far away from them, and distance himself from them. If his soul incites him to go to such and such a place, regardless of whether it involves travel or not, or is near or far, he can respond to his soul by saying, Hab ya nafs annaka mitti fit tariq. Aw mit fi hadha safar. Also, suppose, what if, yani you were to die on the way or during this trip, yani going to do something that's displeasing to Allah. This has really happened. A person left his land and traveled with the sole intention, and Allah's refuge is sought, to commit sins. A person traveled with the intent to commit sins during this trip and suddenly died in this state. Yani intending, yani traveling for the purpose of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking about this type of situation, frightening oneself with it, yani the possibility that a person might die in this condition, and reminding oneself that a person may die unexpectedly and leave this world while they were committing sins and pursuing acts of disobedience. And Allah's refuge is sought from this. Yani this is something that a person needs to think about. This is an extremely dangerous matter, and no intelligent person will wish for himself to die in this state or to pass away while he was on this path. And Allah's refuge is sought. This is an important reminder. If a person was to visualize and reflect upon it, then by the permission of Allah, it will become a protective barrier and prevent him from committing sins. And if a person was to think about this reality, that while they are considering to commit a sin or do an act of disobedience to Allah, what if they were to die in this condition and no one knows when they're going to die, and therefore a person has to realize that it's possible that death may come unexpectedly and it may come suddenly, and a person would not have a chance to yani rectify their situation. So this could yani help a person yani to restrain themselves and to avoid falling into the sin that would be the cause of their destruction if they died in that condition. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, we're reading from the Arabic text on page 28, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله التاسيو, yani the ninth matter, مشهد المغافصة والمعاجلة. مشهد المغافصة والمعاجلة. المغافصة, the Shaykh, he says in the footnote, it means here, لأخذ على الغرة, yani that a person's life is taken while they are unaware, while it is unexpected, in a moment, in an unguarded moment, when they don't know that this is about to happen. The mashhad of al-mughafasa and al-mu'ajila, it means that a person considers, thinks about, reflects upon, recognizes the reality and acknowledges it, that it's possible that Allah may take their soul unexpectedly, even though they're not sick, even though they're not old, even though they're not in a position on the battlefield or in some place where they think they might die. Mashhad al-mughafasa wal-mu'ajala. Yani that death may come suddenly, and it may come swiftly and quickly, so that a person doesn't have a chance to do anything. The Shaykh, he says, Al-Imam al-Qayyim says, وَهُوَ, what this means, هُوَ أَنْ يَخَافَ أَنْ يُغَافِسَهُ الْأَجَلُ فَيَأْخُذَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى غِرَّةٍ. And it is that a person has fear of the reality that the appointed term, the end of the term for their life in this world, their lifespan, the end of it, may come suddenly. فَيَأْكُلُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى غِرَّةٍ. And Allah will take him while he is unprepared, unaware, unexpected. Yani that a person fears that this could happen. فَيُحَالُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَشْتَهِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ الدُّنْيَا. So the death, when it came upon him suddenly, it will be a barrier. It will come between him and that which he desired of the pleasures and joys of this world. He would not be able to get those things, to attain them. وَبَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَشْتَهِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ الْآخِرَةِ. And it will also come between him and that which he desires of the pleasures of the next life. Death will come and end a person's affair. The Shaykh Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, فَيَا لَهَا مِنْ حَصْرَةٍ مَا أَمَرَّهَا وَمَا أَصَابَهَا. The meaning of this is, severe would be a person's regret or remorse, and oh how bitter and difficult it would be that a person dies suddenly, unexpectedly, without a chance to rectify their situation, and perhaps in a bad situation where they are engaged in sin or disobedience to Allah. This is a terrible affair. It is a great misfortune. لكن ما يعرفها إلا من جربها. However, nobody actually knows the reality except the person. The reality is except the person who has experienced it. The person who died in that condition. So the people who are living, they don't really know what it's like. But a person has to reflect and think about it. Al-Imam Al-Qayyim says, وَفِي بَعْضُ الْكُتُبَ الْقَدِيمَةِ. In some of the ancient books, it is said, يَا مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ وَلَا يَتِمُّ لَهُ سُرُورُ يَوْمٍ الْحَضَرَ الْحَضَرَ. One who is not able to guarantee safety for himself, even for a moment, even for the blinking of an eye. Person who can't guarantee, the human being is a creature that doesn't have the ability to guarantee its own safety even for a moment. Nor is a person, the human being, able to enjoy one day of happiness, to complete one day of happiness. Nobody can guarantee this. Because, we don't have the ability to make ourselves safe from whatever it is that Allah has decreed, and we don't have the ability to guarantee joy even for a moment. So be careful. Be careful of how we live, because we don't know what will happen at any moment. The point here is that what? That every person has an appointed time for their life in this world, and nobody knows when it is. And it may come unexpectedly, and it may come suddenly. So a person has to be careful every moment, every day, all the time, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. Be careful that you are never in a position that if death came to you suddenly, that you would die in a bad state. So do not die except in a state of Islam, in submission to Allah, meaning that a person should be striving every moment, every day, all the time, to be in obedience to Allah, so that by Allah's favor and His mercy, if they are trying to do that, then Allah, out of His grace and His favor and His mercy, will allow that person to die in a state of submission to Him. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He says, Al-Amr Al-Tasir Min Hadihi Al-Mashahid. The ninth matter, the ninth affair from these things that a person needs to be conscious of, needs to be aware of, needs to recognize and acknowledge these realities. And the ninth of them is, he says, Al-Khawfu Min Mubaghadata Al-Ajil. That a person has fear of the unexpected sudden death. That death may come upon them suddenly. Here the Shaykh mentions two ayat. In the second one he mentions part of the ayat. He doesn't mention the beginning of it, because of what he mentioned in the first one. In any case, the person can go back to the reference and see these ayat and how they actually came, and something about their meanings. The first ayat that the Shaykh mentions, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَكُولُ لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ. So as far as this ayat, some of the scholars of tafsir They said that the ajal means a mudda. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, the ajal means, yani likulli muddatin madruba. Every, yani, period of time that is fixed, that is determined, that is appointed, yani for every period of time, there is a kitab. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he says, kitab maktubun biha. In the tafsir of Jalalain, it says, kitab maktubun fihi tahdiduhu. Yani that there is something written, there is a written, yani a record of the period of time, yani what are its limits, what is its, yani, ending, what is the end of its time. So for every period of time, there is a record of when it ends, what will be the extent of this time period. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir also says concerning this ayat, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ, that everything with Allah has a specified, specific period of time. Yani it's limited to a particular, specific period of time. Al-Imam Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, he says, so for this reason, yani since everything, every period of time is fixed, and it is written, and it is recorded, he said, therefore, people hastening to see the signs of Allah, or hastening to see the punishment of Allah, that this will not require that Allah advanced that which He had already written and decreed to be delayed. And everything, even though Allah, yani He is the one who is fa'al lima yurid, He is the one who does whatever He wills, but everything has a fixed time, so the people's hastening, they're wanting to see the signs, they're wanting, yani bring on the punishment, it's going to only come in the time that Allah has already decided. The second ayah that the Shaykh mentions, he says, وَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَاصِفًا قُدُومُ الْأَجَلِ. So Allah, the Most High, He says, describing the قُدُوم, the arrival of the أَجَل, yani the period of time that is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. So if and when the ajal, that fixed period of time that is for anyone or anything in this world, when it comes, it will not be delayed, not even for 1 hour, meaning for any period of time, nor will it be advanced. The Shaykh says, فَالْإِنسَانُ لَا يَدْرِي مَتَى تَفْجَأُهُ الْمَنِيَّ. So the human being, he doesn't know when the death, maniyah, when it will suddenly come to him. Human being doesn't know when that will happen. It's fixed. It won't be, yani, delayed, nor will it be advanced. But the human being doesn't know when it will come. وَرُبَّمَا ظَنَّ وَهُوَ فِي حَالَ الْكُوَّ وَالشَّبَابِ. A person might think, while he is strong and he is young, أَنَّهُ يَعِيشُ سِنِينَ طَوِيلًا. He might think that he's going to live for a long time. فَلَا يَشْعُرُ إِلَّا وَالْمَوْتُ دَاهَمَهُ فَجَأَةً. He will not be conscious, he will not be aware. He may think that he's going to live a long time because he's young and healthy and strong, and he might think he's going to live a long time, and he will not be conscious, he will not be aware, except that death will come to him suddenly, by surprise, unexpectedly. As far as the second ayah, so in some of the tafsirs it is mentioned, or in tafsir of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ. That's the beginning of the ayah. Yani for every ummah, for every qarn, or every jil, for every generation of people, there is a period of time that's fixed. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. So if their time comes, the fixed time comes, it will not be delayed even for 1 hour, nor will it be advanced. He said here, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ, it means qarn or jil. For every generation of people, there is an ajal, that is a period of time that's fixed for them. So when that time comes, yani the appointed time for them, when it comes, then it will not be delayed, nor will it be advanced. Imam As-Sa'di, he says concerning this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَخْرَجَ اللَّهُ بَنِي آدَمَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Allah has brought forth the children of Adam upon the earth. وَأَسْكَنَهُمْ فِيهَا And he made it as a residence for them. And he to live upon the earth. وَجَعَلَ لَهُمْ أَجْلًا مُسَمَّى And he has given them fixed period of time. Yani for them to live in this world. And it will not be advanced for any nation of people. عَلَى وَقْتِهَا الْمُسَمَّى Yani its time yani will not come to an end early. وَلَا تَتَأَخَّرْ Nor will it be delayed. Not for the whole nation, nor for any individual from that nation. Yani everybody's time is fixed. It's not going to be delayed and it's not going to be advanced. So the point here that the Shaykh is making is that everybody's ajal, everybody's fixed period of time, nations and individuals is written, it's recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it will not be delayed nor will it be advanced. So the human being, yani, if a person is aware of this, what is intended by these ayat is that a person be conscious and recognize and remind themselves that no one knows if death might come suddenly. And therefore a person has to prepare for it. Therefore a person must prepare for it. Even though a person might think they're going to live long, but Allah only knows, yani, what is the fixed period of time for any individual, and therefore a person has to prepare for it. The Shaykh mentions two evidences here related to this topic. One of them is the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and the other one is a hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The statement of Ibn Umar is actually attached to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to look at a little bit at the hadith itself as well as the statement of Ibn Umar that's specifically related to our topic here, and then we'll look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as far as the Shaykh, he says, وَكَانَ السَّحَابِي الْجَلِيلِ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يَقُولُ إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرْ الصَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرْ الْمَسَاءِ Yani that Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he used to say, if a person reaches the evening, they should not wait for. Yani they should not expect. Yani they should not think that they are guaranteed to see the morning. And if a person reaches the morning, then فَلَا تَنْتَظِرْ الْمَسَاءِ Don't wait for the evening to come. Yani don't imagine, don't think that you're going to reach the evening. You're not guaranteed, yani, to see the end of the day. This hadith is recorded by Al-Bukhari. And the full hadith is reported from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma saying, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمَنْكِبِي That the Messenger of Allah took me by my shoulder, yani to get his attention for what the important thing that he is about to say to him. فَقَالَ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ Be in the world as though you are a stranger or a wayfarer, a traveler, just traveling through the earth, yani away from your home. Be in the world as though you are a stranger, yani you are not a part of this world. Or as though you're just a traveler passing through. وَكَانَ ابن عُمَرَ يَقُولُ With this hadith that he narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he used to say, if a person reaches the evening, don't expect to see the morning. And if a person reaches the morning, don't expect to see the evening. And then he said, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِمَرْضِكَ And take from your health, yani do what you can do of good deeds while you're healthy before sickness. وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ And take from your life, yani while you have life, yani for your death, yani before death overcomes you. So it is said that the meaning of this hadith is كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيب Yani don't become attached to and established in this world. But be in it like you are a stranger whose heart is only connected to his watan, to his actual own, his country, his land. Yani be like you are a stranger whose heart is not attached to this strange land, but rather whose heart is attached to your homeland. And know that your homeland, your real homeland, huwa ad-dar al-akhirah. It is the home in the next life. So don't be deceived by this dunya. Because this dunya is not everlasting. It doesn't have any lasting existence. Rather, it is a place that is going to end. أو عابر السبيل, or be in this world as though you are just a wayfarer, a traveler. يعني عابر السبيل, it is said that it means المسافر, a person who is traveling. So you are not, while you are in this world, no, you are no more than a traveler who is traveling to your real homeland, which is the Dar al-Akhirah. Yani you are just traveling through this place, going to your real homeland. So the days and the months and the years are just stages in this world. They are just stages of the life that Allah has fixed, the appointed time that Allah has fixed for you in this world, which will end, yani, at the time that Allah has fixed, which nobody knows when it will come. As far as the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and this is really the point that the Shaykh wants to mention here in reference to our topic of what that a person needs to be aware of, conscious of, acknowledge, and have fear of the possibility that death may come unexpectedly, by surprise, suddenly, without a person having a chance to prepare for it. So in that, in the sense, in that meaning, yani he's quoting the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, where he said, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ السَّبَاحِ. Yani, do not delay doing deeds of obedience to Allah until the morning. Yani, if you reach the evening, don't say in the morning, I'm going to do some good deed. Don't delay it. Do it now. Because what? Yani, you might not see the morning. Perhaps, yani, in the morning you will be from Ahlul Kubur. Yani, you will be a person who has died. وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ المَسَاءِ. And if you reach the morning, then don't wait for the evening. A, لا تؤخر عمل الخير إلى المساء. يعني don't delay doing some good deed until the evening. Perhaps death will come to you suddenly. وخذ من صحتك لمرضك, and take from your health for your sickness. قال ابن رجب رحمه الله in جامع علوم الحكم, he said the meaning of this is take advantage. Yani, use the opportunity for al-amal al-saliha, to do righteous deeds while you are healthy. قَبْلَ أَنْ يَحُولُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهَا السَّكْمُ. Before you are prevented from doing those good deeds due to sickness. A person might intend to do some good deeds while they're healthy, and if they delayed it, perhaps sickness will overcome them, and they won't be able to do it. He said, and take from your life for your death, meaning, take advantage of the opportunity while you're living. فِي حَيَاتِكَ الدنيا, while you're in this world, ما ينفعك بعد موتك, to do that which will benefit you after you are dead. Take advantage while you're living in this world to do those things that will benefit you after you pass away. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 48th Ayah, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Yani, hasten to do all types of good deeds, because your return, all of you, your return is to Allah. Everyone is going to die, and they're going to return to Allah, and they're going to be, yani, taken account for what they have done in this world. This is the chance to do it now. Also, concerning this hadith, some of the scholars mention that from the meanings of this hadith, that it is not befitting of the person who has an intellect to become deceived by this dunya and make it the most important thing in their life. And it's not befitting of an intelligent person to be deceived of the reality of this dunya and make it the most important thing in their life. Most people, their lives are devoted to collecting whatever they can of the things of this world. That person has been deceived. It's not befitting of an intelligent person to imagine that devoting your life to seeking the dunya, that makes any sense. When this world is imperfect and temporary, and the next life is permanent and perfect, it's not a fair exchange. So he's saying it's not befitting of an intelligent person to be deceived by this world, وَيَجْعَلُهَا أَكْبَرْ حَمَّ, to make it the most important thing in his life. Rather, a person should be reflecting on passing through this world and departing from it to the permanent life in the, yani, hereafter. Because we are no more than a person passing through this world. So the Prophet ﷺ has commanded us to, yani, tafkir fil maut, to think about death, what is ahead of us, and going on to the next life, where a person will be rewarded for the good deeds that, or for the deeds that they did in this world, whether good or yani, other than that. A person will be compensated for what they did in this world. He's saying, لِأَنَّ مُجَرَّدْ التَّفْكِيرْ فِي ذَلِكَ الْمَصِيرْ الْمَحْتُومْ وَفِي ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفْ الْعَظِيمْ يُؤَدِّي بِالْعَبْدِ إِلَى إِسْتِقَامَةٍ وَحُسْنِ السُّلُوكِ والمواظبة على الصلاح أو على صالح الأعمال. يعني that a person thinks about, reflects upon, and contemplates where we are going to, the final destination, and this great day of standing before Allah for accounting. Thinking about this, reflecting on it, calling it to mind, will lead a person to be upright and to have good behavior and to be consistent and to be diligent and persistent in doing righteous deeds. And the opposite is also true. Yani, if a person is deceived by this world and they are lost in the love of this world and yani, the greed for the things of this world, this is the cause of every evil that the human being is suffering from today in this dunya. From the second of the meanings of this hadith, he said that it is incumbent upon the person who has an intellect, lil'aqil, to hasten, to race against the time, yani the little bit of time that a person has in this world. وَالْمُبَادَرَ إِلَى الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ قَبْلَ فَوَاتِ الْأَوَانِ. And that a person hasten to doing righteous deeds before the time passed them by. That's what is incumbent upon the intelligent person, to race against time, because time is limited. It's going to run away. A person should race against time and hasten in doing good deeds before that opportunity is lost. And this is, yani, as Abdullah ibn Umar said, yani, if you reach the morning, don't wait for the evening or don't expect the evening. He is warning us here in this advice to not delay doing righteous deeds from the time in which a person is able to do them, for fear that death will come between him and the doing of those righteous deeds. It is said that Muhammad ibn Rasi, rahimahullah, he said when he used to go to sleep, he used to say to his family, "Astawdiukum Allah." Yani, I leave you in the care of Allah. Perhaps, yani, falalli la akumu min nawmati hadhihi. Perhaps I will not, yani, rise up from this sleep. Yani, he used to realize that when you go to sleep, there's no guarantee you're going to wake up. Also, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says, "Wal wajib ala al-mu'min al-mubadara ila al-a'mal as-saliha قبل أن يحال بينه وبين وبينه بينها وبينه بمرض أو موت أو غيره." Yani, that it is incumbent upon a person to hasten to doing righteous deeds before something comes between him and doing those righteous deeds, like sickness or death or other than that. And then it is mentioned that and this is similar to the hadith, I'm not going to discuss this hadith, but the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, yani, take advantage of five things before five things, take advantage of your youth before old age, and take advantage of your health before sickness, and of your condition of having wealth before poverty, and the yani, having free time before you are occupied, and take advantage of your life before your death. And all of these meanings are yani, come in line with what we already said. That is, that a person has to utilize the opportunity that they have before that opportunity passes them by. The last point that's mentioned from this hadith, that in this hadith, is تحريض على الإكثار من ذكر حادم اللذات. Yani, there is the encouragement for a person to increase in the remembrance of that which destroys the pleasures of this world. And it is said, and that's the hadith that the Shaykh mentions last, that we're going to close with. It is said from some of the people of knowledge, من أكثر ذكر الموت, that whoever yani, is frequent in the remembrance of death, أكرم بثلاثة, then they will be honored with three things. Yani, the person who frequently remembers death, then they will be honored with three things. The first of them is تأجيل التوبة, that they will hasten to repent. The person who remembers death, it will be a means of them hastening to repent. وَقَنَاعَةِ الْقَلْبِ, and that their heart They will have contentment of their heart. The person who remembers death will have contentment in their heart. When nashat fil ibadah, and they will be active in worship. And they said, whoever forgets, who doesn't remember death, then they will be punished with three things. Tasweef at tawbah, that they will put off repenting until later, soon, in some time, will repent, and they don't repent. Wa adam ar-ridha bil kafaf, and that the person who doesn't remember death, they will not be pleased with that which has been given to them, which is sufficient. Wa takasul fil ibadah, and they will be lazy in worship. Because they didn't, and they weren't reminded of the reality of this world, and in knowing that death is near, and therefore, and they lost out on the opportunities. And this is similar to the important, very, very important, yani, statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or du'a of the Prophet, in which he used to say, "Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik." Oh Allah, help me to remember you, yani, so that if I remember you and my duty to you, my obligation to you, and my shortcomings, that I will be, yani, hastening to repent. Wa ala shukrika, and to be thankful, to be appreciative, to be grateful to you. And if a person is grateful, they will be content with whatever Allah has given them, that's sufficient. وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ, and that a person worships Allah in the best manner possible. And this is, yani, from the remembrance of death, that a person remembers death is near, this will activate them and make them active in worshiping Allah, and worshiping Allah in the best manner possible. Finally, the Shaykh mentions, this is the final evidence that he mentions in this mashhad. He says, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ الْكَرِيمُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُذَكِّرُ أَصْحَابَهُ بِكُدُومِ الْعَجَلِ وَاقْتِرَابِهِ, that the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to remind his companions of the approach of the appointed time, yani a person's end, death, and its nearness. He used to remind them of this, that death is near, and of its near approach. وَيَقُولُ لَهُمْ أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ حَادِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ, yani increase, be plentiful in the remembrance of, yani the contemplation and reflection upon the destroyer or the demolisher of the pleasures of this world. This hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah and others, and the Shaykh says, yani that the meaning of this, be frequent in the remembrance of hadim al-ladhat, لِأَنَّ هَذَا التَّذَكُّرُ يَثْنِي الْعَبْدِ عَنْ إِرْتِكَابِ الذُّنُوبِ, because this remembrance, this reminding oneself and reflecting upon, contemplating over death, that which destroys the pleasures of this world, he said this will turn a person away, yani will divert them and dissuade the person from committing sins. This will help a person and dissuade them from committing sins. So as far as this hadith, as we mentioned, is reported by Ibn Majah in his Sunan. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hasan Sahih, with the wording, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ حَادِمْ with Del. حَادِمْ الْلَذَّاتِ يعني الْمَوْتِ, yani be frequent, plentiful, and remembering the حَادِمْ الْلَذَّاتِ, yani the destroyer of pleasures, that is death. The hadith is also narrated in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, and Shaykh al-Albani said there also that it's Hasan Sahih, but with the wording, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ حَادِمْ الْلَذَّاتِ with Del. Yani in the narration of Ibn Majah is حَادِمْ with Del, and in the narration of Nasa'i is حَادِمْ الْلَذَّاتِ. Al-Imam As-Suyuti says concerning this, حَادِمْ with Del, حَادِمْ الْلَذَّاتِ, he said, بِمَانَ قَاطِعُهَا, that which cuts off the pleasures of this world. وَيَحْتَمِلْ أَنْ يَكُونُ بِالدَّال, يعني مِنْ هَدَمْ الْبِنَاء, that it also might be, يعني instead of هَدَمْ, هَدِمْ, that is meaning that which destroys, demolishes a structure. وَالْمُرَاد عَلَى التَّكْدِيرَيْنِ, and what is intended, no matter if it's, يعني the narration that we're looking at is هَدِمْ or هَدِمْ, then what is intended, Al-Imam Suyuti says, is that what is intended is death. Is death. فَإِنَّهُ يَقْطَعْ لَذَّاتِ الدُّنْيَا قَطَعًا, because it cuts off the pleasures of this world absolutely, either because when a person remembers or thinks about and reflects upon death, this will cause them to abstain and to withdraw and to abandon from the pleasures of this world and occupy themselves with the worship of Allah, or that the meaning may be that when death comes, then there's not going to remain anything for a person of the pleasures of this world. It's over. There's a hadith that, it has some weakness in it, but I want to mention it just because it's related to our topic. From the, for some of the meaning that may be benefited from it, and it's a hadith that is mentioned by Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi in his Sunan. And in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, Shaykh Al-Albani doesn't mention any grading for this hadith, but in other places he said that it is weak. So we're not saying that the Prophet ﷺ said this, we're saying that this meaning is related. And a weak hadith doesn't mean absolutely that it's false, it just means that it has some weakness, and we are taking precaution from attributing it to the Prophet ﷺ because of the weakness in the chain. So it's reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu that he said, خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لصلاة فرأى الناس كأنهم يكتشرون. The Prophet ﷺ came out for one of the prayers. And some of the commentaries have said it probably was janazah, because it was well known that the Prophet ﷺ used to appear very troubled, at the time of a janazah, sadness, severe sadness when one of the companions died. He said he came out for a salat and he saw the people, كأنهم يكتشرون. Some of the scholars said yaktashirun means that they were laughing and doing a lot of talking about things that had no meaning. And this is something that we see today when you go to the janazah in the masjid, before the salat, after the salat, on the way to the cemetery, at the cemetery, a lot of people laughing and joking. This is a serious matter. The Prophet ﷺ, when he used to go to a janazah, he used to show the sadness on his face, and he used to talk very little. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said in this narration that, we have some concern about its authenticity. He said, أَمَا إِنَّكُمْ لَوْ أَكْثَرْتُمْ ذِكْرَ حَادِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ لَشَغَلَكُمْ أَمَّا أَرَى. الموت. He said, if you people had occupied yourselves with the remembrance of the destroyer of pleasures, death, it would have occupied you from what I see you engaged in, laughing and joking and talking nonsense at a time that is serious. فَأَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ حَادِمَ اللَّذَّاتِ الْمَوْتِ. So increase in the remembrance of the destroyer, the demolisher of the pleasures of this world, that is death. This is a reminder, some of the scholars said, for the rich people who are enjoying those pleasures, and for the poor people who are seeking to enjoy those pleasures. It's a reminder for everyone to reflect upon, to contemplate over, and to think about death. All of the things in this world that a person engages in, and it will all end with death. A person should be thinking about after death. A person should be thinking about after death. We should be utilizing the time that we have in this world to do that which would benefit us, when the inevitable death comes, whether it comes suddenly, unexpectedly, or other than that. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the favor to, the tawfiq, to understand the importance of this advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't say occasionally think about death, but he said akthiru. Think about it a lot. And this will be a means of helping a person to realize the limited time that a person has in this world, and that its end is coming soon, and therefore a person has to hasten to do whatever they can while they have life, while they have health, while they have spare time, while they have the ability to do good, before that time is cut off and it ends, and then it will only be as the Imam mentioned in the Salat of the Khutbah today, the ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ الموت فيقول ربي لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكون من الصالحين. Spend in the way of Allah, do good deeds as much as you can from what Allah has given you the ability to do, what Allah has provided you with, before there comes to one of you death. And then he will say, oh my Rabb, if only you had delayed the end of my time to a near period. Just give me a little more time, then I will give a lot of charity. I will do a lot of deeds and I will be of the righteous. وَلَا يُؤَخِّرُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah will never delay the term that is appointed for any soul when its time comes, and Allah is fully aware of what you do. And it's, and this is mentioned in addition to another ayat that brings the similar meaning, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال ربي ارجعون. Until when death comes to one of them, they say, oh our Rabb, oh my Rabb, let me go back. Let us go back. Yani give us another chance. Go back into this world. لعلي أعمل صالحا. That so that I may do righteous deeds. فيما تركت. In terms of those things that I have left behind. And Allah says, كلا. Yani this is not going to happen. There's no returning to this world. إنها كلمة هو قائلها. This is just a word. And the person is saying, let me go back, give me a little more time, and I'm going to do righteous deeds. Allah says, this is not going to happen. This is just a word that a person is saying. There's no benefit in what they're saying. And in fact, they are not truthful. If they were to go back, they would go back and do the same thing they were doing before. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَكٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبَعَثُونَ. And between them, the person who has died, who is asking Allah, let me go back and I'll get another chance, I'll do better this time, there's a barrier between them, between the life in the grave and the life in this world, that will be there, that a person will not be able to bypass until the day when they are resurrected and returned to Allah for accounting. Let us take seriously this matter. It is indeed one of the things that if a person is given success by Allah to reflect upon, to contemplate, to think about as much as possible, indeed it will be helpful in both preventing a person from committing sins for fear that they might die in that condition, and also it will be helpful in enabling a person and encouraging a person to do good deeds, realizing that our life in this world is limited and the term may be near its end, so a person has to hasten and not waste any more time. May Allah grant us success in doing so. And may Allah help us to do the things that are pleasing to Him, and that He recognize, reward, and record them for us, and that He pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, firmness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we leave this world and return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. Ameen. If there's any comments or questions or any corrections, then inshallah we'll take them after the salah. Unless there's a correction, then we'll take them now. The comments and questions inshallah we'll take after the salah. Whoever's able to stay, we have some light refreshments that we can enjoy together and have some discussion if there's any issues that we want to complete before we leave tonight. Naam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.